Well, a very, very warm welcome to St. Margaret's this morning, to our family service, and welcome to Annette, who will be speaking to us later. And thank you to Deborah, who's playing the organ for us this morning. Just a couple of things to draw to your attention. Please do read the notice sheet. There's lots of information in there. And you start at the beginning, you finish right at the end. Because there are still people who say to me, so what's happening about this? And I say, well, it's been the news sheet for the last 3 months. And they go, well, I didn't know that. So do read that. And of course, in there you'll see we've got a date now for dear Jill's funeral on Thursday week. And that'll be here at 12 o'clock. Good news, Jeff Pierce, I heard yesterday, will be coming home on Monday. So that's good. They've had enough of him at Amersham, so they're sending him home. And just about Ukraine, one of the things later on we'll hear, and I've got to be careful not to steal Annette's sermon here, but about the Satan tempting Jesus to misuse Jesus' immense and genuine power and authority. And the root of the temptation where he was to misuse them. And Jesus, of course, responds with power and humility. And that's the difference. And our world needs that example now. The events out in Ukraine, an example of where that power and that desire to misuse this immense power that you have has caused all of this. But also what happens is, we were talking a few weeks ago about revival and about when that happens and God's Spirit moves through the land and good things happen all the time. So in war, one of our prayers is, because in wartime, evil has that same effect and evil is sort of released into the land. And so, yes, good things happen. But there's a sense of bad and evil that pervades a country and a land in those situations. So it's a battle between Russia and Ukraine and all the rest of them. But it's also a spiritual battle between the powers of good and evil, between God and Satan. And if you have any kind of, the sermon this morning, our reading, is about Jesus having a conversation with the devil. So if you ever hear that, well, I'm not sure if there is a devil or not, Jesus believed in him, and that's enough for me. So before we start, let's pray. Father, we see our world, and it feels like evil is being released into it. But Lord, we know that it's been like that right down through the ages. Heavenly Father, you came to this earth 2,000 years ago into an occupied country. And yet, Father, you met that occupation with love and humility. So, Father, we ask, Lord, for an outpouring of love and humility on the people of Ukraine. But also, Lord, upon us now. Lord, it needs to start with our own hearts. So, Father, would you do that among us this morning as we come to worship you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first hymn, kind of a hymn of comfort, number 593. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. So we stand to sing number 593.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we say together, loving Lord Jesus, we have come to sing to you, to pray to you, and to hear you speaking to us. Help us to know that you are with us, now and always. Amen. So we sit or kneel to pray. Let us pray. And we're now in the season of Lent. And I'm sure you've all found good and worthy things to give up for Lent. But the purpose of giving those things up is for holiness. If it doesn't take you towards holiness, then get back to it. The purpose of Lent, that is preparation for Easter, is of holiness. That's what the Lord wants to bring in all of us. Part of that is our confession. For Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So let us bring our secret sins into his light and confess them to him and together. O God, our gracious Father, you know us as we really are. You know our selfishness, our anger and resentment, our fear and laziness, our hardness of heart, our need to begin again. Father, we have failed you often and ask your forgiveness. Help us to live that others may know your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for today. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, yet without sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. So we sit as Roger and Christine come with our readings. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, beginning to read at verse 1. And it concerns first fruits and tithes. When you have entered the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land that the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians ill-treated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God, and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 8. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Salvation for us is by grace, and that sense is free, but of course it cost Jesus everything. Our next hymn, number 633, you laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me. Number 633.
The Gospel is written in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand at the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put your Lord God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. So although Mike was determined not to steal my thunder, he has a little bit, because my first sentence he's already said. So I'm going to say it again, because I've got it written down, so I'm going to say it anyway. We're now in the period of Lent, the special time of preparation for Easter and celebration of the risen Lord. Today we're talking about temptation. I think we all believe we know what temptation is all about, but I thought I'd look it up in the dictionary. And it said, inducement to do evil. So then I needed to look up inducement. And that said, to persuade to do wrong, wanting someone to do something bad. So the reading today is all about being told by someone to do something that you know is bad and making sure that you don't do it. It's a little bit like the boy in the shop who was standing near the open box of biscuits. "Now then, young man," said the shopkeeper as he approached the boy, "what are you up to?" "Nothing," said the little boy. "Nothing? Well, it looks to me like you were trying to take a biscuit." "You're wrong, mister," said the little boy. "I'm trying ever so hard not to." We understand that temptation leads to trouble. Jesus was tempted as he was human. Jesus had to undo the work of Adam. Adam had been created perfect, but gave in to temptation and passed sin on to the human race. Jesus, by contrast, resisted Satan, and his victory offers salvation to all of Adam's descendants. Satan may tempt us to doubt Christ's true identity. He knows that once we begin to question whether or not Jesus is God, it's far easier to get us to do what he wants. Times of questioning can help us sort out our beliefs and strengthen our faith, but these times can also be dangerous. If you're dealing with doubt, realize you're especially vulnerable to temptation. Even as you search for answers, protect yourself by meditating on the unshakable truths of God's word. Now, I noticed we did have a couple of little people arrive in the church at the back there. I'm going to really annoy people online because I'm going to walk down the back of the church now. Because you're not a teacher if you don't have visual aids. So I'm going to take my visual aid. Well, I've got three, so I'm going to keep doing this, I'm afraid. Hello, I'm coming to annoy you.
Do you think one of you could take out what's in the bag? It's heavy.
Oh.
Okay, thank you. Okay, what is it? It's a rock. It is. It's a very large rock. Because I think when you're having a story, you need something to remind you of the things that are important in the story. So, and I think that's the same for adults as well as for children. It helps you visualize. So, first temptation, turning the rock into bread. So that's our first visual aid. Jesus was hungry. He'd been fasting while he talked to God about his work and what he had to do. Sometimes we're tempted to do what is wrong in itself. Turning stones into bread was not necessarily that bad. But the reason Satan wanted him to do it was the devil was trying to get Jesus to take a shortcut, to solve an immediate problem at the expense of his long-term goals, to seek comfort at the sacrifice of his discipline. Jesus was in the desert to fast. He was experiencing things as a human, and therefore it would be wrong to use the divine power to this end. Many people sin by attempting to fulfill legitimate desires outside of God's will, or sometimes just ahead of his timetable. We need to ask ourselves, is the Holy Spirit leading me to do this? Or is it Satan trying to get me off track? If we give in to the devil and wrongly use our strengths, we become proud and self-reliant. Trusting in our own powers, we feel very little need of God. To avoid this, we must realize that all our strengths are God's gift to us, and we must use them in his service. So, number two. I'll be as quick as I can. I'm back again. Could you take this one out? Okay, what have you got this time?
It's an atlas.
It's an atlas. It is. It's an atlas. Because the devil showed God the world. He showed him the world in front of him. And we can see the world. Thank you. We can see the world in an atlas. So it's a symbol of the devil showing Jesus the world. He says it's his to give. He will give it to Jesus if he will worship him. What he's offering him is to take the easy and least painful trip. Jesus came to the earth to take back the whole world. So here is a fast and easy way. No cross, no pain. He can have it without working for it, without having to struggle and work at the process. We are offered Satan's world and all of its ease. If we will accept the world as it is, we don't try to make it better. Some will just avoid the difficulties because the world says it's okay to be selfish and self-centered. Some will spend their money to buy as much comfort and pleasure as possible. And they never notice the suffering in the world. And they don't worry who will care for the hurting or the abused. Some people will just marry and divorce as many times as they need to be happy, not realizing it takes work for a relationship. The devil's world says you must always be happy, and that is what he offers. TV advertisers love to tell you what you need. Food, exercise, diet products, how to buy real estate. Advertisers are always trying to fill the questions inside us that say we need to be better, or thinner, or richer. If we use our credit card, the answer can solve the hunger with rush shipping. The devil is the advertiser to our spiritual hunger. He points out the green pastures over there, someplace. You have the power to heal yourself. Take control. Make decisions totally for yourself. You are empowered and a free thinker. You're in charge. All these messages come through from the devil. You don't need to trust in God. The majority of temptations in our lives will only ask you to make the simple, innocent-looking decisions that you might think are no big deal. You can do it. It's no big deal. No one will know. But you know. It's so easy, as this example demonstrates. There was a poor village vicar, I'm hoping this doesn't reflect Ali and Mike, who was a little bit cross at his wife for always spending money. He angrily confronted his wife with a receipt of £250 dress that she'd just brought. "How could you do this to me?" he exclaimed. "I don't know," she wailed. "I was just standing in the department store looking at the dresses, and then, well, I found myself trying it on. It was like the devil was whispering to me, 'Gee, you look great in this dress. You should really buy it.'" "Well," the pastor persisted, "you should know how to deal with the devil. Just tell him, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" "But I did," said the wife. And then he said, "It looks great from back here too." So, temptation number three. I'm not going to walk all the way to the back. I'll do this for you. I couldn't think of what else I could represent him jumping off the highest point of the temple. But I decided that if he did jump off the highest point of the temple, you'd probably need a first aid kit. The devil wanted to test him by jumping off the high point of the temple because God would save him. He even quoted the Bible to say the angels would protect him and keep him safe. Jesus, who knew the scriptures well, replied, "Yes, it does say that. But it also says one should not put God to the test." Jesus came back with scripture time and time again. The devil knows when to tempt you. He knows the best place, the best time, and the most tempting thing on offer. And you may not be able to resist it because he knows your weaknesses. And this is a very, very small example of one of my weaknesses. If a waitress asks me if I want a dessert, I might be able to resist. If she offers me the dessert menu to look at, it becomes a little bit trickier. If she wheels up with a trolley with all of the delicious puddings on it, I do not stand a chance. And I close with a story of someone who always turned to the Lord and never gave in to temptation. I faced my Maker at the Last Judgment. I knelt before the Lord along with all the other souls. Each of us laid our lives like the squares of a quilt in many piles. An angel sat before each of us, sewing our quilt squares together into a tapestry that is our life. As my angel took each piece of cloth off the pile, I noticed how ragged and empty each of my squares were. They were filled with giant holes. Each square was labelled with a part of my life that had been difficult. The challenges, the temptations I faced in everyday life. I saw the hardships I'd endured, which were the largest holes of all. I glanced around me. Not many others had such squares. Other than the odd hole here and there, the other tapestries were filled with colour and beautiful hues of worldly fortune. I gazed on my own life and was very disheartened. My angel was sewing the ragged pieces of cloth together, threadbare and empty, like binding air. Finally, the time came when each life was to be displayed, held up to the light, the scrutiny of truth. The others rose, each in turn, holding up their tapestries. So filled their lives had been. My angel looked at me and nodded for me to rise. My gaze dropped to the ground in shame. I hadn't had those earthly fortunes. I had love in my life. I had laughter. but there'd been trials of illness and death and false accusations that took from me my world as I knew it. I had to start over so many times. I struggled with the temptation to quit, only to somehow muster the strength to pick up and begin again. I spent many nights on my knees in prayer, asking for help and guidance in my life. I'd often been held up to ridicule, which I endured painfully, each time offering it up to the Father in hopes that I would not melt within my skin beneath the judgmental gaze of those who unfairly judged me. But now I had to face the truth. My life was what it was. I had to accept it for what it was. I rose and slowly lifted the combined squares of my life to the light. An awe-filled gasp filled the air. I gazed around at the others, who stared at me with wide eyes. Then I looked at my tapestry before me. Light flooded the many holes, creating an image. It was the face of Christ. Our Lord stood before me with warmth and love in his eyes, and he said, "Every time you gave over your life to me, it became my life, my hardships, my struggle. Each point of light in your life is when you stepped aside and let me shine through, until there was much more of me than there was of you. May all our quilts be threadbare and worn, allowing Christ to shine through. Amen."
So we're going to stand to sing about Christ being our cornerstone, our rock, everything we have. So in there you have the little sheets there. "My hope is built on nothing less."
Jesus' blood and righteousness.
expanding as we follow in our service our statement of faith. So we say together, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we sit or kneel to pray as Jean comes to lead us in our intercessions. Let us pray.
Let us bow our heads in prayer to our gracious Father. Good Lord, purify our priorities this Lent as we pursue that clean heart and right spirit. As we live under the dazzling gaze of your love, help us to return that gaze with joy, and may we be drawn into the generous flow of your grace forever pouring out into the world. This Lent, may our hearts be refixed on you, O God, and on you alone, taking time to ensure we know your word and to stand in the strength you have given us to guard against the devil's ongoing attacks. May we also follow the way of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who stood firm against Satan's temptations. Lord, in your mercy. A prayer for Ukraine. Gracious God, we weep for the people of Ukraine, being displaced by fleeing their much-loved homes and country, possibly never to return, in the face of an onslaught by a neighbouring foe. We cry out for peace and pray that there will be no more destruction of a beautiful country. May you protect all refugees, those unable or not wanting to leave their homes, and for the men separated from their families, having to stay behind to defend their land. We thank you for the friendly neighbouring countries welcoming the Ukrainian people and helping them onwards in their journey to settle in a new land. And we thank you for all who have donated humanitarian aid in whatever form. We pray that their Christian faith will give them hope and the love of Christ be their source of peace and comfort. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creative and loving God, thank you for the hymn writers of old and the composers of contemporary music, for Charles Wesley, Isaac Watts, Graham Kendrick and Stuart Townend. Thank you for the composers of great melodies, for Bach, Parry, John Belt and Matt Redman. Raise up, we pray, new generations of musicians to enable us to sing for joy in the company of your people and to live by the melody of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, there are people we care about who have a variety of needs right now. To pray for them is the best way we can love them. So first we pray for the people on our notice sheet. For David Windsor and family following the death of Jill last weekend. For Clem Clements as he's following his surgery. And Reverend Mike has received a letter from Michael and Alison Bailey, and they're settling now in Aston Clinton. We also thank you and pray for the Holy Trinity PCC on Tuesday, St Margaret's PCC on Thursday, the Deanery Synod meeting planning for the 17th of March, and we also welcome Henry Joseph Edward Smith, his parents, godparents, friends and family on the occasion of his baptism. And also we thank the flowers that have been donated this week at St Margaret's by Joyce Veacock in memory of Norman. We also ask for prayers and people on our hearts. Here they are now, Lord, for you to touch in your life. And we take a short silence in their memory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now for the prayer our Saviour has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Annette and Jean, thank you. So our closing and our offertory hymn, number 1346, In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found, number 1346, and we stand to sing.
Thank you.
Please do join us across in the sanctuary for tea and coffee and chat just now. So the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And may the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love, now and always. Amen.